Der Fußball ist zurück in der zweiten Liga.
Bravo, macht Tempo, wartet auf Harter. Zwanke kommt und jetzt ist es Klos. Also Arminia Bielefeld.
Penny, 2-0. 2-0 für den FC St. Pauli.
Diese
Flanke, Tor, nächster Treffer.
Ist heuer Fernandes mit vorne. Ja klar ist er mit vorne. Kittel mit der Ecke, Feuerball und da!
Hi there and welcome to another edition of the Zweite Bundesliga podcast. It's match day 27 in the book and we are on our way to an English week, match day 28 and then match day 29. Here we'll review all the action from the weekend's action, all eight games in the Zweite Bundesliga. From the top of the table scraps to teams putting themselves in the mix for promotion, to those looking to avoid the relegation battle. It is tight everywhere you look, and there is so much to discuss. It was a weekend for the Torhüter, goalkeeper. Eight players managing to keep a clean sheet. Daniel Hoyer Fernandez, Stefan Ortega, Kevin Müller, Marcel Schuhen, Benjamin Ophoff, Manuel Riemann, Martin Freisel, and Alexander Meyer, ensuring that their teams kept a clean sheet, but not all of them, you know, managing to get victories. In fact, there were three little draws on match day 27. So defense trumped the attacking force we saw on match day 26. To help me delve into all the action from match day 27 is the returning and always welcome co-host of mine, Eva Lottebol. Eva, how are you doing on this, what I'm assuming is a fine morning in Hanover?
I'm a bit tired, actually, so I want to excuse myself beforehand for any loss of the English language during this podcast episode. But other than that, I'm very happy to be back in Hanover, and yes, I survived watching the Hamburg Bielefeld game with a HSV fan. We didn't kill each other, so that's a good one as well.
It's the perfect segue for what is and was heading into match day 27, the top Spieler, which was Hamburg and Arminia Bielefeld. That game ended all square, a tightly contested contest, a game that I did some analysis on. So by the time you hear the podcast, the analysis should be out. You'll find it on my Twitter page. And it's fair to say, Eva, this was a tough game for Bielefeld. They were very lucky in some junctures. Hamburg probably had the better chances, but I think you could tell at the end of the game it was an important point for Bielefeld as they maintained their points advantage at the top of the table.
Yeah, definitely. You're completely right. I can live with this draw much more than I could live with the Osnabrück draw, because I think although Hamburg definitely had the better chances, our offense wasn't really on the pitch, our attacking players didn't really get their chances. I thought the back was really, really good. Patrick Weihrauch came in. It was his first game in over a year for Bielefeld. He of course replaced Cedric Brunner, who is out on a yellow card suspension, and I think he did a good job. We checked statistic before starting to record, and I think he didn't play that many passes, like around 34, I think, but he only had two missed one, so quite good rate for someone who didn't really play competitive football in 372 days. And Amos Pieper and Joachim Nielsen did a really, really good job in the back as well, together with Stefan Ortega. It was a superb game for him. I thought HSV was a bit unlucky, but I also thought that some of their chances they gave away too easily. So the way of attacking, it was very often from their left side or right side, that they really played good until they came close to the box, and then they didn't really finish what they started. So all in all, Uwe Neuhaus said it as well, he can really live live very well with this point, because we didn't really need to win this game, and I think it's better to just play on draw, and how they play this season, it's gonna work, than to concede a goal because you take too many risks. So I'm quite happy that everything worked out.
Absolutely. And when you take into account how important the result is for Bielefeld to maintain the points differential in comparison to, say, Hamburg, who are trying to ensure that they keep a distance from Stuttgart and Heidenheim in third and fourth, but as well as, you know, keeping Bielefeld honest, it will feel like a loss for Hamburg because they did have the better chances. You think of the Poyanpalo one 5 minutes in, where after Fabian Kunz fell over, slipped, Steven Gerrard-esque. A lot of Liverpool fans would have a bit of PTSD watching that. But by the studs of Ortega's boot, it was able to be saved. And then Leibold's chance in the second half off the Martin Harnik cross, that was there. It was there for Hamburg to take it, but they just couldn't get it done. And as a result, they remained 7 points behind. It's not all doom and gloom for them. It was a very encouraging performance, but now they have to do something they haven't done as well recently, which is win away, and they've got to play Stuttgart on Thursday night. And that leads us to VfB, who played Holstein Kiel at the Holstein Stadion on Sunday, whilst the Bielefeld-Hamburg game was on. And this game, out of all the Sunday games, was the one that featured all the goals. It was 3-2, though, to Holstein Kiel. And I guess an exercise in almost self-destruction by Stuttgart. They controlled early, then conceded a goal to Emmanuel Ayoa. Then Daniel Tadavi got sent off. First yellow card for dissent. The second one, yeah, an inexcusable foul. Nicolas Gonzalez equalising with a penalty on 59 minutes. And then the unfortunate Roberto Massimo made a couple of mistakes, leading to Yannick Diem, who hasn't played all season, his first goal, and Lion Lauberbach, his first goal as well. And then Silas Wamangitka got a goal back on 86 minutes, but it wasn't enough. It's fair to say, Eva, we discussed this last week about the issues that Stuttgart have travelling, and I would suggest that this was probably a better performance than they produced in Wiesbaden, but they kind of got in their own way again, and as a result, another 3 points dropped.
Yeah, I think Didavi's being sent off really did the trick here. For me, get your first yellow card by saying there is something unfair going on. And if you're the team captain, it's kind of your role to go up to the referee and discuss things like that. But then he also has to know that he might get a yellow card for it, especially how the rules are this year. And then that stupid foul, it wasn't even on his own box. He's on the attacking side, they're in attacking, and then he fouls the Kiel player, and well, it was a bit harsh, but in the end he saddened himself. He has the experience and he should have known better. Roberto Massimo, really, really unfortunate, as you said. It's just, he's a very young player, of course, a former Bielefeld player, has a lot of potential, and it was just so unlucky for him. But I thought that a couple of Stuttgart players really did a good job coming up to him after the game, comforting him. And yeah, I would have hoped for Stuttgart's sake that after the penalty they would done a bit more, which was definitely a penalty. We spoke about it off record. It's kind of stupid going up there to Agadui. Yeah, but in the end, that's just not enough. They're kind of lucky they play at home now against Hamburg, because they tend to be much better at home than they are away. It's going to be different, of course, because there are no fans there. But when their last game at home was against Armenia, and I thought they showed a very decent performance. But they definitely need a win just to show that they're back in business.
Yeah, they do, and there has been some chitter chatter, as there always is in the old fashioned rumor mill, that what is going to happen to Matarazzo. Sven Mislintat, the sporting director, came out yesterday and said, "Nah, everything's fine. He's guaranteed a position," which, for anyone who kind of almost reads between the lines, it's you have to start getting results, otherwise you're gone. The last win for them, 22nd of February, 2-0 win at home to Regensburg. Since then, it's been the draw with Bielefeld, a loss at Fürth, and the loss at Wiesbaden, which I mentioned, as well as the loss in Kiel. So not great record going into the game with Hamburg, but they are better at home. They've played those two consecutive away games. We will see if they can get back on the winners list. Kiel will host... Sorry, they're away at VfL Bochum on Wednesday night. That leads us to Heidenheim, who undoubtedly are the biggest winners of the match day. 1-0 win to Wiesbaden. It was a Tobias Moore free kick, which got them the winner. They were also fortunate that Wiesbaden had a goal taken away thanks to the video assistant referee for offside. What it means in the table is that Heidenheim are now a point behind Stuttgart and 2 points behind Hamburg, and they have a 5-point gap to Darmstadt, which means that they are the best of the rest. Either it was an interesting performance from Heidenheim, a definite improvement over the performance in Bochum. And we talk about this quite a lot, that we're always impressed with what Heidenheim do with the lack thereof resources they have at their disposal. They have the fifth smallest budgets in terms of transfer, and they're not a big club by any stretch of the imagination, but yet under Frank Schmidt they just keep grinding out results, and against a Wiesbaden team that are actually a lot better away from home than as they've shown on multiple occasions, this is actually a pretty good result for a team that is trying to get out of the relegation zone.
As you said, Heidenheim are definitely the winners. They kind of did what Bielefeld, Hamburg and Stuttgart failed to do on this weekend, to use their chances. Doesn't really matter how many you get, just use one of them, and one goal is then enough for winning it. I think especially if you look at how Wiesbaden managed to win twice against Stuttgart, getting a win against them is nothing that comes easily. Nothing comes easily in this league anyway. Really big win for Heidenheim. Wiesbaden, if they would have won, would be a huge step forward, because for example Karlsruhe and Bochum just shared points. St. Pauli lost. Okay, Hannover won, but Osnabrück lost at the same time. So it would have been a huge step forward. But still, I think they can, with 3 points out of those two games, I think nobody really would have expected that. So they might be hope for them.
Had Wiesbaden won in this in a hypothetical situation, they would have jumped up to 13th ahead of Karlsruhe, Nürnberg, Sandhausen and Osnabrück, and only a point behind Bochum. So they're still very much in the hunt to avoid the drop. It is very, very tight down the bottom. And every game will be crucial for them. For Heidenheim, of course, massive win for them. And they can almost start to dare to dream that they could be a promotion candidate and maybe a Bundesliga side next season. We'll take our first break, and on the other side, we're going to look at the teams that really hammered in the goals, Hannover and Darmstadt's game on the other side. Two sides who had great offensive success and took all 3 points in their games were Darmstadt and Hannover. We're going to start in Darmstadt as they hosted St. Pauli, and it looked like it was going to be a tricky final 15 for Darmstadt after Matthias Honsack opened the scoring on 7 minutes. However, old mate Jos Luhukay, Jos the boss, opted for the first ever quadruple substitution, and it completely backfired. They gave up 3 goals in 15 minutes. Yannick Starks, Belter, the pick of the bunch, Marvin Mellem and Victor Paulsen. 4-0, Darmstadt win. They go to fifth. And really, there's probably a lot to be said about St. Pauli's performance. There was quite a lot of disdain from the St. Pauli fans. It's evident that a lot of people don't like the style of football that Jos Luhukay produces, and it certainly gets made a lot worse, Eva, when they lose in such a fashion.
Yeah. Well, we talked about it earlier. Of course, the quadruple substitution didn't really, I think, gave the game what Jos wanted, but instead it really gave Darmstadt the opportunity to completely butcher St. Pauli. But I think it didn't really look like St. Pauli would take any points from this game anyway after Honsack scored. Well, what surprises me a bit, St. Pauli was unbeaten for 7 games in a row now, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
On the line,
But it doesn't really surprise me that they gave up 4 goals away. They aren't really good away this season. And if you lose 4-0 to Darmstadt, it doesn't really surprise me that it happens in Darmstadt. They definitely have to improve their game until tomorrow, so Wednesday, when they play Heidenheim, because as we talked about earlier, Heidenheim used their few chances that they got or that they get in a game. And yeah, for St. Pauli, I think they thought they're out of the relegation scrap after their last couple of wins. But yeah, in football is a really fast business, and with one defeat you can just go into the relegation scrap just very quickly. And yeah, they have to look out, definitely.
Yeah, well, they are only 5 points above Karlsruhe, who are in that relegation playoff spot. And it's only goal difference between Karlsruhe and Wiesbaden that separates 16 and 17. A good win for Darmstadt. It's been, you know, the team that has the equal most draws. Very good end to the game. They were organised defensively. They really limited the chances. I think Marcel Schoen should have set up a picnic table, had a nice bottle of red, some cheese, and enjoyed the football in the wet Darmstadt. Was it spring? Spring close to summer. He had so little to do throughout the game. And just a friendly reminder that Dimitrios Gramotsis, who is the manager until the end of the season, is available. So he's very much put a nice resume over the last year and a bit at Darmstadt. He's a very capable coach, and I think there will be a few teams around the Zweite Bundesliga thinking we should get our hands on him, because it's clear that he knows exactly what he's doing. They are very astute defensively, and they can score goals, as was showcased here in this one. We'll move on to Hanover's game at Osnabrück. This game had the most goals, 6 goals in total. Osnabrück started very well with Asan Cisse getting the opener. Then only moments later, Juice van Aken's own goal, you know, ping ball pinball style, which left the Sheffield Wednesday on loan defender the last touch past Philip Kuhn. Etienne Amanyido made it 2-1 for Osnabrück, and they looked like they had some sort of control in this game. And there may have been a question whether Hanover, who of course didn't play the previous week because their opponents Dresden are still in lockdown, how they would run out the game, but they finished with an absolute flurry. Marvin Dukes getting a brace within 5 minutes, one from the spot, the second one well made, and then Genki Haraguchi's brilliant individual effort making it 4. A good win for Hanover puts them back in the top half of the table. For Osnabrück, it is a tough loss. It does leave them in a precarious position, only 2 points above Karlsruhe and Vejen Wiesbaden. But I guess we should talk about Hanover, Eva, because under Keenan Kokach, they have been very solid. He's managed the 13 games. They've won 5 of those games. It's pretty clear that he's been a good stabiliser for them. There's still holes in the defence, but they've picked up results and they're moving away from that treacherous relegation scrap.
I think definitely coming back after being 2-1 down and against an opponent that pretty much is a candidate for relegation as well in VfL Osnabrück, they showed a very good performance and coming back, or at least with coming back after the 2 goals. For Dukes and Haraguchi, very good performance, as well as for Hubers, I believe. Haraguchi solo in the end was just class. Nobody really attacks him. Very good goal in the end. And some people in Hanover now hope they can have a saying in promotion again. I think they should really focus on being that stable into the rest of the season, so you just can plan for the next season and be a bit more realistic of what this team can do at that stage.
Yeah, I mean, it is ambitious, but when you're 10 points off the relegation playoff or the promotion playoff, not likely, but very good response considering that they did have an extra week in terms of training, but not having sort of that match practice under their belt. Really good result for them. They have a pivotal clash against Karlsruhe on Wednesday night. Osnabrück travel to Greuther Fürth, another team who did not play on the weekend. So that will be an interesting 2 games. We'll take our final break. On the other side, we'll get to the rest of the fixtures from match day 27. And now the final 3 games from the match 27 review. We will start with Nürnberg's 1-1 draw with Erzgebirge Aue. It was the visitors who took the lead on 51 minutes through Dmitry Nazarov. He has 10 goals now this season. He's Aue's top scorer. That's also a second consecutive game for him that he has found the score sheet. However, the lead lasted all but 12 minutes after an own goal by Soren Gonta, who just happened to be at the wrong place at the wrong time. Eva will be quick on this. Nürnberg, again, had some good chances in this game, but really, in many ways, against a team that we know is quite weak away from home, they'll probably be disappointed they didn't get more out of this game.
Yeah, especially because Nürnberg is at a stage this season where they really have to pick up the points they can get, and this would have been one of the games. It's really difficult for me to take anything big out of this game. I thought it helps Aue more than it helps Nürnberg, that to say. And for Nürnberg, it's still very important to win against clubs that are with them in the relegation scrap. Like, Regensburg is not quite there yet, but they're kind of struggling as well. So that would be a very good opportunity to take all 3 points this week.
Absolutely. I think if we're putting a marker down on the number of points needed to survive as we enter match day 28, which signifies, was it seven more games before the end of the season, you're probably suggesting that 40 points is a guaranteed lock to be safe. 35, and it's the maybe a little bit of squeaky bum time. So you'd say that the top four, of course, are going to be safe. Darmstadt, the way they're playing, are probably safe. You would say maybe Kiel, Fürth, Aue, if they just win at home, Hanover. And then below that, you're probably suggesting that it's fair game at the bottom. We don't know what Dresden are going to bring to the table. They've got, obviously, a real heavy June, where they're basically going to play all their games before June 28. So that's going to be tough for them. So it will be very interesting. But that, you know, there could be a situation where we're going to have a couple of teams that might be surprisingly going down. But I guess the draw is good for Nürnberg, but they are the first cab off the rank when it comes to the last team that is currently safe. We'll move on to Karlsruhe, who picked up a point to VfL Bochum. They will be mightily disappointed, Karlsruhe, because they were, especially for the first 60 or so minutes, they dominated Bochum in pretty much most aspects of the game. They had some really great chances. But, another case of a keeper who was just incredible. Manu Riemann, who may be a little bit upset that he wasn't in the kicker team of the week, which was given to Stefan Ortega. The wall of Riemann was in blistering form, and really it was his performance in the end either that actually gave Bochum a share of the spoils.
Yeah, I thought compared to the game against Heidenheim, this was the Bochum we know this season. I think Riemann was really, really pissed. You could kind of hear it through the audio on the pitch that he was not really happy with the rest of the team. You could hear him screaming, like, wake up. This is not the first time we play football. Just do something. I think especially the first 30 minutes or so, Bochum was not on the pitch. Like, they were just standing there, except Riemann. And yeah, nothing was really going on offensively or in offense and attacking in any way. as you said, Karlsruhe probably a bit unhappy to not take any points. Although I have to say, I think Bochum, as soon as Osei Tutu got substituted, not his fault, but I think Reis didn't really want to break down anything in midfield or defense, so he chose to change something in the attacking style. Bochum also very unlucky that Simon Zoller will be out for the rest of the season due to an injury, as well as it's not quite clear yet if Danny Blum can play the next games. So yeah, once again, couple of hard games coming their way. As you said, they host Holstein Kiel on Wednesday night. Pivotal game for them once again. I think if they win that, they can go up to 8th or 9th, something like that. But yeah, wasn't really good performance in the end. I think Bochum can live with the point, looking at how the game went, a bit better than Karlsruhe can.
Yeah, maybe it might be time to unleash De Bommer, Tommy Vaillant, who hasn't had a lot of action this season. But with Zola set to miss the remainder of the season, and who knows if Blum is ready to go, maybe it's time for some Tommy time. We shall see. It must be mentioned, Zola probably had their best chance, Bochum, which hit the hamstring the underside of the hamstring for Benjamin Upoff, but cannoned over the crossbar. It was an extraordinary game. Both keepers were exceptional in that game and really ensured that the bridges of the goal were not crossed. Let's go to our last game. There's not really a whole lot to take away from it. Sandhausen, Jan Regensburg, 0-0 was the final score. Jan had a goal chalked off from the video assistant referee. But otherwise, Sandhausen had the better chances. They were very good in transition. But, yeah, like so many teams this weekend, really lacked the final product. And a result that doesn't help either team that much. I mean, you know, Jan are in a good position in 10th. But they are, you know, 4 points above Nürnberg, Osnabrück and Sandhausen, and what, 6 points ahead of Karlsruhe. So they are in a decent position, but they have to be careful that they don't lull themselves into a trap of dropping more points and letting that closing group overtake them, per se.
Yeah, I think it's a really difficult year, the year 2024, Jan Regensburg so far. Didn't really continue their good form in the first half of the season. And to be honest, I didn't really expect a different result than a nil draw from this game. This just your typical draw for the match day that I would have picked before. Can't really take a lot out of this game. Both sides definitely didn't show what they could do. And, yeah, it's, as you said, you can't really take a lot out of it.
No, I guess we'll touch on Jan Regensburg's form in 2020. It has been, well, a very feast of, well, a lot of famine, unfortunately, for them. Let's see, Hanover 1-0 win. Then they were beaten 2-0 by Greuther Fürth, smack 6-0 by Bielefeld, 1-0 win at home to Wiesbaden, 2-0 defeat at Stuttgart, 2-1 defeat to Dresden, 2-1 defeat at Hamburg, the 2-0 draw with Holstein Kiel, and a 0-0 at Sandhausen. So it has been a very tricky 2020 for Jan, but we shall see if they can get the points to Nürnberg on Tuesday night. Of course, the big game, really, the real Der Klassiker, is not Borussia Dortmund and Bayern Munich. It'll be Sandhausen and Wien Wiesbaden on Tuesday night at the same time. So, why would you want to watch players like Robert Lewandowski and Mats Hummels when you can watch Manuel Schäfer and Dennis Linsmeier? I don't know. You tell me. That's it for this episode of the Zweite Bundesliga podcast. Thank you, as always, Eva. It's great to have your company and do the podcast with you again.
I'm always happy to be on it.
I'm always happy to have you on it. And that question, if Bielefeld go up, Eva is always welcome, as far as I'm concerned. So she'll always be on as long as she wants to come on. Thank you so much for your company again. And until next week, have a good week. See you later. Bye.